It's good to see you all out this morning. The world's a mess, isn't it?
Amen.
Our country's a mess, isn't it?
Amen.
Everywhere we look,
yeah.
Divisiveness and turmoil. And it's easy for us to get wrapped up and caught up in that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do, but we should not.
Amen.
It's not new.
No.
This world has never offered peace. This world has never offered comfort.
Amen.
This world has always had people at odds with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to people in the world, everybody seems to know what the simple answer is to everything.
Amen.
Well, the problem is it's not the same answer. And so there's the divisiveness. And I'm so glad to be a Christian, aren't you?
Amen.
Because as a Christian, I don't need to worry about that.
That's right.
I don't need to be concerned about that. That stuff is going to go away.
Yeah.
All of it. And the only thing that matters is what my relationship to my Lord is.
Amen.
Now and forever.
Amen.
That's what we need to focus on. Can you give your political opinion on social media? Go for it if you want to, but don't get caught up in that. Okay? Keep it in perspective. Maybe better to tell people about Jesus Christ on social media.
Amen.
Some will listen. Some won't.
Amen.
See, our problem, I think, and that's what I want to talk about today, and I'm going to use our theme passage,
okay.
Matthew 9, and I'm going to use 35 through 38. For the first part of the lesson, and for the second part of the lesson, I want to go to Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And we will, I think, put those two together and try to understand some things that Jesus wanted us to know. But this morning I want to talk about, now we've been talking about compassion. And compassion is not a word that's unfamiliar to the world.
No.
Everybody knows the word. The problem is, not everybody understands the word.
Yeah.
They don't understand at least the compassion that Jesus taught about, and that's what I want to talk about, is biblical compassion. And now, the whole world isn't here right now, so I can't tell the whole world at this moment about that, but when we leave here, I want us to understand what biblical compassion is, and I want us to understand that it is necessary in our lives.
Amen.
What is compassion? We can't let the world define it for us, but you know, if you get your Webster dictionary out, there is a definition. It says suffering with one another, and it says compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of another's distress along with a desire to alleviate their pain and suffering. And I think that goes a long ways towards defining compassion, but it doesn't quite get there when it comes to biblical compassion and what Jesus taught. Because I think the Bible has three elements to biblical compassion. And we're gonna mention those very briefly here. The first is sympathy, pity. The sorrow and distress that we feel, that's what sympathy is. It's a feeling, and that is part of the Bible definition. Don't be afraid of your feelings. It's okay to care and to feel the pain of another,
Amen.
The misfortune of another.
Amen.
But that's not altogether what biblical compassion is. The second ingredient is the desire to help. The desire to do something about it, to alleviate the symptoms that we see when we see a misfortunate other. You know, and then the third ingredient is kindness. Kindness. And I think this is where the divide is between what the world teaches and what Jesus taught. You say kindness? Well, yes. Because kindness, the world doesn't even understand the definition of that. You know, kindness is not a feeling. Kindness has to do with our actions. and what we do. You cannot be a kind person and never do anything for anybody. You might have the other two ingredients. You might sympathize with the person. You might have a desire to help, but if you don't actually do something, you know what? You're not kind to that person. We must do something. Compassion is not biblical until it displays all three of these ingredients.
Okay.
Now, compassion is not compassion until it acts. Compassion is sympathy. But until it acts, it's not the compassion that Jesus taught about. Compassion is a behavior of kindness. If there's no desire now to alleviate suffering, no acts of kindness will come about. So these other elements are important, right? We have to see and feel, and that creates a desire, and we have to have that, or we'll never do anything. Those are what the things that prompt us to kindness.
Amen.
But sympathy is not compassion. Compassion is a work. Compassion is a ministry. Now, I don't know why in the Church of Christ that we shy away from that. That was, at least it seems to me, we shy away from that word ministry. But we are ministers, all of us.
Amen.
Not just me, not just Stanley, not just Brother Jay or anybody else that speaks publicly, and Jeremiah and the others that have. That's not all there is to ministry. Ministry is personal. We all are ministers. And we need to do good deeds as ministers. Done because our heart has been touched by the misfortune of another.
That's right.
Jesus, he took care of a lot of folk.
Amen.
Both physically and spiritually when he was
That's
here.
Right.
But even Jesus did not heal everybody. Because, see, he was a human being, besides being God, and he was, as a human being, he was only in one place at a time. That's a limitation of being a human being. And he helped many, many people, but when Jesus left the world, not everybody had at least physically received his healing touch. Compassion starts with the feeling, but it ends in acts of kindness. Now, perhaps the best way to understand biblical compassion is to kind of look at the opposites. Sometimes we can get a feel for a word or a concept if we try to conceive what the opposite is. Like we know the opposite of fast is slow, and the opposite of long is short, and the opposite of love is hate. Or is it? What do you think? I would submit to you that it's probably not. I think the opposite of love is apathy. Just plain not caring at all.
Amen.
That's on the opposite end of love. Now, hate is almost always a very bad thing. But apathy is worse. At least you have some feeling if you hate. But apathy, you have no feeling whatsoever for a person. That's the opposite of love. That's the opposite of the concept of compassion, I believe. Church, the greatest insult against someone is not to hate them. It's to not care one iota about their well-being. That's terrible, isn't it? That means they don't matter to you. They don't matter. Apathy is not taking any interest in them, not bothering to feel or do anything. Apathy is disgusting to God. Now, don't forget that. It's disgusting to God. Remember the church at Laodicea?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold.
Well.
That's apathy. They didn't care. You know, hot or cold is on not exactly the opposite end of the spectrum, but not caring is just way out there. I wish you were either hot or cold. Didn't he say that?
That's what he said.
Because you are lukewarm, because you are apathetic, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That's what the Lord said. I don't want the Lord to spit me out.
Amen.
Because you know, if the Lord spits you out, where are you going to go? There's no place to go. Let's read Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And I have a feeling before we finish with this particular theme, we'll be reading it quite a few more times. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." In these words, Jesus perfectly models the three-step solution that we just previously discussed on how to overcome apathy and express genuine biblical compassion. Now first, Jesus saw the crowds. Jesus was paying attention. He opened his eyes to what was going on around him. Now, you would say, well, that seems easy enough. Well, you know what? Not for all of us, maybe for you.
Amen.
But, the world tends to, there's just all kinds of stuff that tends to go on around me, and I'm oblivious to it because I'm not paying attention, right? Yeah. Well, you know, I really can't begin to be compassionate until I begin to see.
Amen.
Just take a look. And I don't mean just, you know, obviously we all see if your eyes work and you're not blind, you see. But that doesn't mean you see like Jesus wants you
That's
to see.
Right.
We need to be paying attention. What is it that you see? Do you see people that are hurting, people in the dark, people that need, people that are lost without a shepherd? That's what Jesus saw.
Amen.
And, you know, he never looked away. And I do sometimes. I see, and what I see is ugly, and I look away.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Because it's uncomfortable to see pain and suffering and people in need. So I look away. Jesus didn't look away.
Yeah.
He took it in. He went to the people. He never passed on the other side of the street.
Well,
you know, we know that parable of the Good Samaritan, don't we?
Yeah.
And we always think that we're the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe we're not always the Good Samaritan.
Mm.
Maybe we're the priest, the Levite, that passed on the other side of the street because it was too ugly to see, too hard to deal with. Biblical compassion causes us to get out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
It's never comfortable to reach out to someone else, at least not for me, and I'm pretty sure not for you either. But it can get more comfortable, and we can get better at it the more we do it. But it's not about even being comfortable, is it? Our comfort zone. We need to get out of that and look directly at the brokenness of the world.
Amen.
Can't be ignored. And secondly, Jesus felt their pain. And again, I'm condemned here. I mean, I don't have a good ability to feel what other people feel, and I need to be better at it. If you start by seeing it, and then you have to feel it, and I don't want to, and neither do you,
Amen.
But we have to feel.
Amen.
We have to feel what other people feel, or we can't help them. Jesus had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. He saw that, and he felt it. He felt it in his being. He knew they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus didn't insulate himself from their pain. He felt it. And he saw their suffering. And he humbled himself and made himself emotionally vulnerable. Do you want to be emotionally vulnerable? You know what that means? Men, I'm going to talk to you men, okay? It may be some women, but men. That means you might cry in public sometime and somebody might see you. Right? If you're emotionally invulnerable, didn't Jesus cry in public?
Yes, he did.
Why? He cared and he felt.
Amen.
That's what we're called upon to do. Compassion cuts to the heart. It actuates a gut-wrenching feeling in which we personally identify with the brokenness of another person.
Amen. Wow.
Thirdly, and this is the kindness. Remember the kindness? Jesus took action. He never said, well, you know, I think I'm going to just pass on this one. I'll try the next one. I don't want to get involved. This looks too nasty. This looks like something maybe Stanley ought to do. So I'm going to, maybe I'll tell Stanley about it. The only problem is sometimes if you pass the opportunity, it's gone. You can't pass it to somebody else. Most of the time, that is the case in our personal ministry. We've got to do it. We've got to get involved. But Jesus preached in their synagogues, and he healed every disease and sickness. He fed hungry thousands. He raised their dead. He comforted the bereaving people. He cast out demons. He gave sight to the blind, speech to the mute. He forgave their sins. He went to the cross for their salvation. Jesus never ignored the problem.
Amen.
He took action with acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. Then he tells us we're to do the same.
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh.
Yes, he does.
Have we been doing the same?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think if we're honest with ourselves, some of us have been doing some of this, but to do it on the level that Jesus did it, we're all coming up short, I think.
Amen.
We need to improve, brothers and sisters. That's where Christians are made.
Amen.
Did you know that? You know why the church isn't growing? Because of this. Because of the lack of compassion. When people realize you care for them, they're going to listen to you.
Amen.
You don't start preaching the gospel to them necessarily right of the way. You have to make a connection with
Amen.
Them. You have to convince them that you care. And you know what? If you don't, you're not going to convince them because people are smarter than that.
Amen.
People know if you care or not. You can't fool them in that. Maybe for a short while, but not very long. People know if you care. And we need to convince them that we do. The harvest is plentiful, he said. And we are, as his workers, sent into the fields for what? To be compassionate. That's our job in the field. Start with compassion. Isn't that what Jesus did?
Amen.
Did he teach them the truth? Yes. But he healed. He did all of these physical things for people along with teaching them the truth. Jesus is saying the world will not change. Do you think the world's going to change? It's not. Genuine biblical compassion will always be needed. Okay, let's look at the second half here. Next, let's find out why compassion is important. And it has to do with us, not with the ones we're compassionate for. That's important, but that's not really why it's important to you and I. It's important because it has to do with our eternal destiny.
Amen.
You and I.
That's right.
Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed to my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry."
Yeah.
Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now, I want you to note something here. Jesus, in this list of things that he said that you did for me, he didn't say you preached to me.
No.
Did he?
No.
Now, I'm not saying we don't need to preach and teach, but Jesus is starting where we need to start here.
Amen.
If we don't do these things, forget about preaching.
Yeah.
Don't even start. Because it will be ineffective. People will know that you don't care, that you're just playing the game, and they won't listen to you. What do we learn from this? Our destiny depends on how we treat others. Now, let's say that again. Your destiny, my destiny, depends on how I treat other people. One's eternal destiny was based on whether or not compassion was shown to others. That's what Jesus taught here.
That's right.
Christianity is composed of seeing, sensing, and serving.
Amen.
Seeing, sensing, and serving the Jesus that is in others.
Yes.
You say, well, Jesus isn't in everybody. Well, you know what? If that person has a soul, and they do, Jesus is in there.
Amen.
I don't care how despicable they may seem.
That's right.
If they have a soul, that soul was made in the image of God.
Amen.
Number two, compassion is a personal response. I was hungry, a stranger and naked, sick and in prison. And you, he says, you cared enough to look after me.
Amen.
It's a personal relationship.
Amen.
We've got to get involved with people. We can't be isolationists. And too much of the time, that's exactly what the church tries to do. We try to protect what we have here and take care of each other.
Come on.
And it doesn't work, brothers and sisters. I mean, that is part of it. Of course, that's part of it.
Right.
But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. We've got to reach out, have personal relationships. If God rules our lives, we will be compassionate.
Yeah.
If God lives in us, we will not resist his providential leading us to those who need our help, either spiritually or physically. Sometimes we think when we see that person that needs help, you know, that we just happened upon them. It's just, you know, a stroke of luck, right? Christians don't live lives that have anything to do with luck.
Nothing.
Luck's a word we need to take out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
We are led by the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing happens by accident.
Amen.
We're blessed. We're not lucky.
Yeah.
And when we see a need, the Spirit led us to see that need.
Amen.
Now what you do with it is going to be your decision.
That's right.
But the Spirit led you there.
Mm.
You need to fill that need.
Amen.
You need to care enough. Number three, serving Jesus is accomplished by serving others. I don't know if we believe that. We think serving Jesus is doing good deeds that we want to do. And doing good deeds that you want to do, that's good. Good deeds are good deeds. But sometimes we have to do good deeds we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's serving Jesus. It's not, you know, helping other people is always going to put you out.
Amen.
At least some. You're going to have to be inconvenienced. And I'm going to confess, sometimes that's why I didn't do it. I didn't want to be inconvenienced. It wasn't a good, this is not a good time. Well, you know what? That person is where they are right now, and it might be the only opportunity they ever get to see a Christian at work.
Amen.
And if you pass that up, God sees it. And you know what he says? there's my child is not compassionate. And our eternal destiny depends on us being compassionate. Number four, religion does not see Jesus in others. If you don't see Jesus in others, you're a hypocrite. That's a strong word. But we've got to look. We've got to look beyond the surface sometimes. The priest and the Levite. Good Samaritan, remember? The priest and the Levite. Well, what did they see on the side of the road? Well, they saw a bloody body. And the good Samaritan, you know what he saw? He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus needed help. Doesn't that change it for you?
Amen.
When you see that person that's not easy to look at, that's what you see, right? We got to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus he's telling us. Mm-hmm. And we serve Jesus. We got to help Jesus.
Amen.
And that should help us do it.
Yes.
Who do you see?
Yes.
You know, the priest and the Levite, they were religious. We're religious, right?
Yes.
Well, so what? When religion ignores others, you know what it is? It's ugly religion. It's not religion that I want to be a part of. And number five, we learned that compassion is found in small things, little things. That night in the upper room, remember when Jesus was with his disciples? He knew he was about to die. And he knew that he was about to die for the sins of the 12. He knew that. So you know what he did? He washed their feet. Now that is not a natural response. To serve those whose sins is about to require your death. But Jesus served them and washed their feet. That night in the upper room, he knew and he served. Compassion is best seen in small acts of kindness and caring. Washing feet, the widow's mite, a cup of cold water in his name, maybe a sandwich at McDonald's. You say, well, that's pretty small. Yeah, it's pretty small. 10 gallons of gas, a night's sleep in a real bed, maybe even just a smile sometimes. Counts for a lot.
Amen.
A word of comfort,
yeah,
or encouragement. An apology sometimes.
Amen.
Sometimes compassion is just saying, I forgive you. It's okay. I forgive you. As the world looks at us, and they do, they're looking at us all the time. They don't see religious titles or sound doctrine.
Nope.
That's not what they're looking at. What they see a doctrine of all kinds everywhere and titles of all kinds. That's not what they see. They see our acts of compassion. They see what we do. And they also see our lack of compassion. Do they see Jesus in us? Paul urges us to become living sacrifices.
Amen.
He says this is a reasonable response to what God has done for us. A reasonable response is to be living sacrifices. It is a reasonable way to worship and serve the God who created and saved us.
Amen.
It's reasonable. It makes sense, brothers and sisters. Scripture tells us that as children of God, we are to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. We are willing to have His heart, His mind, and His disposition of compassion. We must know today that God has been and still is compassionate to us. Not willing that any of us should perish, but we should all come to repentance. God cares.
Amen.
God is compassionate, and He feels. And you know, He's so full of kindness. Why not accept his invitation of forgiveness?
Amen.
Forgiveness and salvation. Yes. That's what he offers.
Yes,
why not accept it? By becoming his child.
Amen.
And then you can begin to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can begin to teach others and show that compassion and kindness to others. Why not accept his invitation? Becoming his child by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism.
Amen.
Now I know many, probably most of you, have already done that. Then I would say to you, accept the challenge. It's a challenge.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's a challenge to add biblical compassion. Forget what the world says. Mm-hmm. Biblical compassion to your Christian walk every day. Every single day that we live. Just do it, brothers and sisters, as we stand and sing together.